This product is rated everyone 10 and up.
Welcome to the 9th episode of the Civilization 5 podcast series. I'm Elizabeth Toby, and today Pete Murray, marketing associate, and John Schaefer, lead designer, join me to talk about a brand new element of Civilization 5, city-states.
City-states are NPC civilizations that are never going to get bigger than a single city. They're not out to win the game, and they're there to give the major civilizations a chance to develop allies who are not going to be competitors in trying to win. They're there so you can develop some, you know, peaceful political interactions to gain some advantages for your civilization. But they're there to make things happen between the major civs. They really cause a lot of things to happen in the game. So you can become friends with a city-state. You can get some advantages for that. But you have to decide, am I going to protect these if somebody else comes to take them over? They can really make wars break out on this basis. If you're friends with somebody and your neighbor invades him and you go to liberate that city-state, you know, you're going to run into conflict with a major civilization. So it's exciting when you have these political interactions arise out of something as simple as a minor civilization in the game itself.
Single cities marooned in a sea of growing, power-hungry civilizations don't appear, at face value, to be much of a challenge. If they aren't out to win the game, after all, they should be easy to ignore or to conquer without much thought. So what makes city-states so crucial to ultimate success? And why should anyone care whether they conquer instead of placating and protecting them?
You can conquer a city-state and spare yourself having to build a settler, but that'll have ramifications for your interaction with the other city-states in the game. They'll be more nervous about interacting with you if they see you've sacked one of their friends. You can liberate a city-state, and in which case they're going to love you very, very much for a long time. But becoming friends with a city-state is good in the sense that it can give you advantages where you may not have a great deal of your own support. Say it's hard for you to find sources of food to feed your cities. A maritime city-state may give you a bonus to your food. A militaristic city-state may grant you military units from time to time if you're finding you're having difficulty with production. So if you're doing well in an aspect, that can really, you know, put you into overdrive on that.
For those of you who are still thinking, that doesn't sound like much of an obstacle for my master plans, let me tell you that city-states are elusive and sneaky. I speak from personal experience when I say this. They are definitely able to mess with your entire strategy.
There are a few different things that make city-states really interesting and unique in the game. First off, they can actually provide you bonuses that you can't get in other ways. So for example, if you're able to befriend them, they will gift you their strategic and luxury resources. So that's something that you could get by conquering them, but there are ramifications for fighting wars. Other players become more wary of you. If another major power is protecting that city-state, then that will bring you into conflict. But if you're able to become allies with that city-state, then they will give you things. Additionally, they're also a source of competition, both in terms of the military game and also the overall diplomatic game. There's only one player that can receive the resources from a particular city-state, and you can only have one ally of a city-state at a time. So there's going to be competition for that role. If two players are competing over one city-state, only one of them will be the ally of that city-state. Obviously, there's also the war angle. If somebody tries to conquer a city-state that you're friends with, or you try to conquer a city-state somebody else is friends with, that will have diplomatic repercussions, and the major power might come up and tell you, hey, we don't like what you're doing, or they might just outright go to war and try to take the city back and liberate them. So there's a number of different angles that city-states provide that are unique and really interesting, we think.
As I said before, city-states are not something to dismiss without careful consideration. Let me explain a little bit about what city-states have done to me over the past few months. They have told me to do things, like wage war on Montezuma or another city-state, like Geneva, and then attacked me, based on the outcome, of me trying to do them a favor. Agreeing to help them all won't help you, either. Too much aggression or deception, and they won't trust you. Even choosing to attack the wrong people will end up causing a massive war. Not keeping a city-state happy can cause you to lose their friendship, and any bonuses and perks that you were given will disappear, possibly throwing your civilization into upheaval, leaving you weak and exposed to attack. And, on occasion, city-states will take over other civilization cities while defending themselves. And if you aren't careful, those cities could be your own.
They definitely can suck you into a conflict. This is one of the things that we've found is really interesting about the system, and it's something that Dennis has told me about in some of his games in particular, where a city-state that he was trying to be friends with, but he wasn't investing a lot in, suddenly it was attacked by another player, and that really changed the nature of his game. He's normally a very peaceful player. He doesn't like going to war aggressively, but suddenly he had a very good reason to try and fight this other player, and he did, and he enjoyed it, and he thought it was really interesting. And that's something that you wouldn't have seen in previous Civ games, because you very rarely had any reason to protect another player. It was all about killing them or just finding ways to defeat them. So if they were losing, then that was a good thing for you. And this is something that's new. They can also, depending on their personality, they can get involved with players in other ways. So one example is that particularly hostile or militaristic city-states can actually request that you go and kill another neighboring city-state. So by doing that, you gain a lot of friendship with the city-state that made that request, but obviously it's an act of war, so everybody else is going to not like that as much, especially the city-state you went after and any players that are protecting that city-state. So there's a number of different interactions there that can bring about interesting situations.
Maybe the coolest part is that these interactions arise out of situations specific to the game they're in. There's nothing contrived about this. There's nothing that happens in the game where we say, when we're making the game, preload this staged scene involving these city-states. I mean, these requests that the city-states make, these resources that they can provide you, really do arise out of the very specific layout of the continent, their relationship to their neighbors, who's settled near them. And so it emerges out of the gameplay, and you get this depth, this unexpected depth and complexity just out of gameplay in the course of Civ 5. And that's one of the things that feels the coolest about the city-states.
Last episode, I think you got the picture that Gandhi and I aren't always on the best of terms. Second to him, I think city-states are my main nemesis in Civilization 5. When I started playing, I thought that they were great, pockets of awesomeness in a game full of deceit and double-crossers. But don't be fooled. City-states are just as wily as full-fledged civilizations. They'll burn you if you aren't careful, and quite possibly, even if you are. That wraps up the 9th episode of the Civilization 5 podcast series. Join us next time when we talk about social policies and happiness.